Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler, another vicar at St. Patrick's, and Father Charles Schonk, our third vicar at St. Patrick's, as well as our pastor, Father Stephen Alcott. Let us start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, a question that priests get a lot is people will come up to me and they'll say, I feel like I'm in a spiritual rut, that my prayer is dry, I don't want to do it, I just don't feel like praying like I used to. I need to re-energize my own spiritual life. So that's the topic today, what to do when we find ourselves in a spiritual slump. Any thoughts?
Well, yes. that is one of the major questions you get in confession and spiritual direction. And do you have a few thoughts on that by now? basically, I think there's at least three things that could be. Like, let's say someone just says, my prayer is really dry. It's really hard to pray. Just taking that. And it's really just so hard. Okay. Like, just taking that as a fact. Well, okay. It could be depression. It could be. Say depression, that can be caused by all kinds of things, just bad things happening in your life, or it could be a chemical thing, or, so it could be a period of desolation, which is a spiritual state where it's not necessarily bad. It could be a real gift from God, but a time of purification. So Mother Teresa, for example, went through that for a long time, and she was a great saint. It wasn't a spiritual slump. Or it could be a real spiritual slump. in that case, something is missing. A spiritual slump can really be caused by sin, especially serious sin, a real vice or addiction. Or it could be that just something that we need spiritually is missing in our lives.
What I usually do when I hear people ask about spiritual dryness, the diagnostic, if you will, that I use is to first see whether that person is remaining in a state of grace. In other words, if somebody says prayer is really difficult and dry, and that person also is regularly committing mortal sins, is a vice, a habit of sinning quite regularly, then the first thing to do is to deal with the sin, to work with your confessor, to pray for the grace, to overcome that sin, to frequently go to confession. The sin is really the issue there. If there's not an issue of a serious habitual sin, then you need to look more closely at your own prayer life and your spiritual life to see what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you're caught in a vice, then it's important, especially to go to confession regularly. Mm-hmm. Because that's going to help. It's going to encourage you. receiving the mercy of God is just key in that situation. Otherwise, eventually you're just going to throw in the towel, right? If you're mm-hmm. not being forgiven and put back on your feet, then you're just going to give up.
And the sacrament of confession will also give you strength to help you in your struggle. And we need that help. It's interesting. Aristotle said that people, that if they don't have virtue by the time they're adults, they'll never acquire it. that we cannot by our own strength go from vice to virtue. Now, if Aristotle was the last word, that'd be pretty depressing. But of course, we have Jesus Christ who gives us the grace to change our habits from vice to virtue. And that means that we need to rely on his grace. And a place where we most especially receive that is the sacrament of confession. So if the problem with one spiritual slump is habitual sin, serious sin, then the remedy is confession and to work with that God's grace in your life to fight that sin. Now, what if it's a case where the person is not, is remaining regularly in the state of grace, is not consistently committing serious sins? What's the next step of the analysis then? Father Stephen, any thoughts?
I think that's often a struggle that people have, a temptation that people face when they are trying to follow Christ, is the temptation of despair. I think that's the greatest temptation that Satan throws at them, because mercy is eternal. And so if someone continues to have recourse to God's mercy, if they're regular in the sacraments, if they're regular in going to confession, if they're regular in trying to follow Christ, the one big temptation they often face is despair, because that is one thing that will make them not reach for that life preserver that's thrown to them whenever mm-hmm. they fall overboard. So I encourage people to recognize that is a temptation, to recognize that even if they feel they can do very little, it may mean much more than they think. One of my favorite gospel examples to give to people is the account of the widow who brings two coins to the temple. Jesus observes people bringing great and substantial gifts and placing them in the temple collection. And then he notices and points out a widow who has only two small coins worth just a few pennies and placing them in the temple treasury. And he points out this woman to his disciples and said, notice this woman, she's giving more. Now notice, not equal, not something worthwhile, but more than all the others, because she's giving from all that she has. And I tell people, imagine if the devil was accompanying her to the temple. The devil would probably be saying to her, you know, this isn't going to make a difference. You should just give up. You know, this is not, you know, you don't belong here. You're not in the same league with everyone else. You should just keep this and go home. So, but that's demonic. That's clearly mm-hmm. demonic. But that's the same temptation that people face when they feel that they're failing. They feel that, you know, they're not doing enough. They're not praying enough. They're not effective enough. And so I just encourage them to realize that even if they can only pray just a little, and we can always pray at least a little, even if we can just have just like a very small regular prayer every day, that in itself might be very substantial in the eyes of God.
Mm, yeah, that's a great point. And I often think of what Mother Teresa said, that God asks us to be faithful, not successful. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think oftentimes people get discouraged just because they want to measure their progress. You know, they want to be able to look at themselves and say, I've reached this point or I've reached that point, you know. But all God asks us to do is to do what is in us for the day, you know. And, you know, I think sometimes people expect more from themselves actually, you know, on a superficial level. They expect more from themselves than God does, you know. And that can lead to discouragement, you know. So if you're doing the basic things, the essential things, and you're being faithful to them, then don't worry about the rest, you know. Needless anxiety is a big problem for a lot of people.
And people often, sometimes they will read spiritual books and take them the wrong way. So there's often in spiritual books, they'll lay out steps of the spiritual life, and they'll say, well, I'm on step 3 of 10 or whatever, and say, well, okay, what do I need to do to get to step 7? And really what's going on there is an attempt to play God, that God is the one that leads us in the spiritual life to the place where we need to be. It's not a self-help manual, the spiritual life, but it's a coming to know and love God more and more and be transformed by his grace, which means that the initiator, the actor, the active party is God, not us. And so part of what we need is the virtue of patience in our own spiritual life, to be faithful to it and to follow God's lead rather than where we think we should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I often point out to people that Christ himself on the cross experienced in his human nature a great desolation, a great sense of loneliness. And so he quoted Psalm 22, my God, why have you abandoned me? And I think of that sometimes as sort of the psalm that fits perfectly someone who's going through any kind of desolation. It could be a spiritual slump, spiritual desolation. It could be any other kind of situation in their life that makes them feel separated from God. And if we look at that psalm, it gives us kind of a very simple pattern of how to pray when we find ourselves in desolation. First, that we just tell God exactly how we feel. We don't have to sugarcoat anything. And if we read that psalm, which Christ himself quoted, it's pretty raw. But if we read the psalm to the end, the person leaves the door open for God to answer. Mm-hmm. In fact, he looks forward to God's answer and thanking God for the answer. So that pattern of just pouring out your heart to God, knowing that he's there, that he will listen, even if it doesn't feel like he's there, at least trusting that he's there, but then opening the door for his answer, whatever it is.
You're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar, and our third parochial vicar, Father Charles Schonk, as well as our boss and pastor, Father Stephen Alcott. We've been discussing what to do when you find yourself in a spiritual slump. So what about if it's not caused by sin, and we accept that God is the one in charge of our spiritual life, and sometimes we offer the best we can, but what about ways to look at our spiritual life to try to tweak it, to improve it, to bring it more into what it should be? Any advice there?
One thing I tell people often is don't overlook the little things. You know, we want to have some kind of grand plan, but oftentimes the most important things are staring us right in the face. You know, they're right there in plain sight. And we think, I have to do the equivalent of, you know, making a pilgrimage or, you know, some big thing, you know, and I don't want to poo-poo that because those things can be life-changing. But, just taking a look at, little things throughout the day. How can I bring God into those little things? That's really, really important, I think.
Yeah, one thing I encourage people is to start from where they are and like build onto the centrally important things they're already doing. For example, most people, hopefully, you know, especially those that would come to seek help from a priest, are at least going to Mass on Sunday, at least most of the time. So I encourage them, rather than saying, okay, well, I want to start an hour of adoration and then a rosary and half an hour of spiritual reading and 1 hour of like private, you know, don't, you're gonna fall flat.
I like that image because I always tell people that it's like people that tell you they're going to get in shape by going to the gym for an hour every day and going on the most extreme diet, and they do it for 2 days and then do nothing.
Yeah.
Because it's too daunting. Yeah, I think that's great advice.
Yeah, but. And then the second state is worse than the first, as the good book says,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So what I encourage people to do is, for example, if they already go to Mass, I tell them, like, well, what if you just go to Mass just 5 minutes early? You go 5 minutes early and say, Lord, in whatever, you know, there's some beautiful prayers, actually, some preparation for Mass prayers you can find in a lot of missals. There's a great preparation for Mass prayer by St. Thomas Aquinas, for example. You can just pray one of those prayers, just read it, you know, to help prepare yourself. Or even your own words, you can say, Lord, I know you want to come to me at this Mass in your word. Just give me one thing. Help me to listen to that one thing you want to say. And then, you know, maybe stay just 5 minutes after Mass to thank him. Thank him for what he's done. Because really, the Mass is the central part of our Christian life. It's a source in some of our faith. So why not just start there and just, you know, make that more what it's supposed to be, rather than adding lots of extra stuff.
And another thing for prayer life throughout the day is to pay attention to how you fit your prayer life within your daily schedule. So, for instance, a lot of people like to have a small morning prayer and evening prayer. Maybe read the morning and evening prayer from the Magnificat or something like that. Well, some people, they'll say, well, I'll do my evening prayer after I'm done watching TV, which means that they're worn out and tired because they've worn down from the TV, they stayed up too late, and all of a sudden the last thing they feel like doing is praying. Well, the thing to do there is to say your evening prayer maybe before or instead of television, and it will be much easier. So to pay attention to whether where you've put the prayer within your daily schedule makes sense or not, and that can make it easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One image I really like, I just mentioned from time to time, is the, you know, the Dead Sea is dead. Why is it dead? It has the Jordan River just flowing into it all the time, a beautiful, you know, vivacious flowing river, huge. But the Dead Sea is dead. Like the main reason is because there's no outlet. So nothing is flowing out of it. And I think a general, like just a real general principle you can look at is all the time, just to check in on, am I receiving fully from God and from others? Am I giving back to God and others as I feel called to do? So both those things. I mean, another reason why something might be really dry is because nothing is flowing into it, obviously. So just looking at both those aspects. And I think a great way to, in looking at, am I receiving from God and others, of course, we always must look first and foremost as the foundation, at the foundation of everything. Is my prayer life what it should be? Is it what God is calling me to do? Secondly, like for food and prayer, for food for prayer, I think like one of the number one sources is good and inspiring spiritual reading, sacred scripture, reading the lives of the saints. If you look at the lives of the saints, you see again and again and again, some are initially inspired to be saints by reading about another saint or by coming in contact with another saint or other holy people. So fellowship, good Christian fellowship, like really fostering friendships and Christian fellowship are the ways to fully receive from God and others. And then in giving back to God and others to say, you know, am I really giving back in acts of charity? Is there something I could do on Sundays, for example, a spiritual or corporal work of mercy? Am I giving back?
Yes. Yes. That's great advice, Father Jerome. I just want to, I think another reason, you know, you talked about having an outlet and receiving, and but we can't receive from God if we're too full of other stuff, you know.
Right.
So I think, you know, if you think of that traditional Christian triad of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So prayer would be receiving, and almsgiving or works of mercy is giving, but then fasting is kind of emptying yourself out so that you can receive, you know. So whatever way, you know, again, little things, little ways of practicing self-denial, of maybe, you know, not watching TV, praying instead of watching TV or whatever it is, you know. But that, and that's difficult, you know. And one of the definitions of spiritual sloth or spiritual laziness is sadness at the difficulty of a spiritual good. Right, sadness, the difficulty of achieving a spiritual good. And I think training yourself in little ways to deny yourself and empty yourself out, again, starting with little things, is very important because it gets you comfortable, so to speak, with that difficulty, you know. So instead of looking at it and saying, oh my gosh, and just giving up, that despair, that sadness, you know, just do it. Just do it in little things, and you'll be surprised how you can build on that.
It's important in the spiritual life to be able to put it bluntly, to say no to ourselves, to say no to the material comforts we might want in the moment, and instead seek something higher. But if we don't do that, we're going to always be mediocre in our spiritual life while God is calling us to spiritual greatness. It's like the student who has a large term paper. Well, he has to say no to going out to a party or doing something like playing a computer game in order to write the paper. But what's more important is that he finish his paper and get his degree than go to lots of parties. And it's the same in our spiritual life. We have to be like that student and say no to things that distract us from what's most important, which is growing to know and love God more and more in our life. And what that does, that saying no, is it gives us the freedom to seek what will bring us true happiness instead of being essentially a slave to things that don't really bring us happiness. The person watching TV all night isn't really happy because of that TV. He's stuck in a rut and would rather do something greater, but he's found himself unable to say no to himself. So pray for that virtue to say no so that we can be filled with God in our own spiritual lives.
Yeah, and one speaking of fasting, I love that image, Father Charles, of emptying out so that we can receive more. And one way to do that, which is kind of a way to kind of jumpstart our life if we feel like we're in a rut, is to kind of make a retreat. You know, that could be going to, you know, a conference. You know, we've got some great retreats and conferences here in Columbus. You might find a retreat center where you could just make a private retreat. You could even kind of do a little do-it-yourself retreat. Just get away from all the different distractions you usually have in your life, and just spend some time and dedicate some time, even if it's just part of a day, to God, listening to Him, praying to Him. And sometimes just pulling yourself out of, and that's what retreat means, you're retreating from all of the ordinary busyness of your life so that you can sort of jumpstart your spiritual life.
Mm-hmm. And that's where spiritual reading can be very valuable. And for that, there's a great resource, your parish library, where you can find all sorts of books. I don't think many people use them, but they're a great resource we have to find spiritually enriching books and to learn more about your faith.
Yeah, there's a great story about St. Philip Neri. If you're not familiar with St. Philip Neri, I recommend getting to know him a little bit. He was a great saint in Italy in the 16th century. And he did all sorts of hilarious things. He was had a great sense of humor. But there's a story about how he cured a young man who was excessively sad, discouraged, depressed. He cured him of his depression by challenging him to a foot race. You know? And I think there's something to that, you know, that we can look at something that's difficult and get discouraged or sad. or we can just do it, you know, and there's a kind of exhilaration that follows from that. You know, we talk about like a runner's high, you know, and there's something is similar is true for the spiritual life. You know, when we really commit ourselves and just do something, we get that runner's high, and it helps to, kind of bring us out of our stupor.
And also one other thing, I mentioned parish libraries. Many parishes have a subscription to Formed with lots of video content. Mm-hmm. That's another way to be able to hear God by putting catechetical, learning the faith more as a way for God to enter our lives. We want to learn about our faith, to pray explicitly, to do these things, because it's also a question of what are the inputs in our own mind? What is it that we put into our consciousness? Is it all things of the world, or is it things of God as well? And it's good to think about, with what you put in your mind, what does your mind rest on? Throughout the day, what is it that you think about? Is it worldly things entirely and only God for maybe 5 minutes of prayer a day? Or do you return to God throughout the day in your thinking? that will help you by turning your mind more and more towards God throughout the day in little bits that help you to focus more on spiritual things and make them more enjoyable because you become more familiar with God and desire them more. Another great way to do that is to listen to Catholic radio. So there's resources on the internet with Formed, on the radio with Catholic radio. You have your parish library. There's resources all over the place. So use them to fill your mind more with healthy things.
Catholic radio is the best resource, especially St. Gabriel Catholic radio.
and especially Dominican Dimensions. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Indorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio with Father Jerome Zeiler and Father Charles Schonk, the other vicars at St. Pat's, and with our pastor, Father Stephen Alcott. Now let us end in prayer. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom, preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte, Spiritus, Veni, Penaria.
O God, who by the light of the
Those of you who faithfully pray the Rosary for vocations, keep praying. It's working. Did you know the four U.S. Dominican provinces have over 135 friars in formation? The Dominicans are one of the fastest-growing men's religious orders in this country. This is Father Benedict Kroll from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Consider making a vocation weekend. Google Dominican Friars to learn more.